2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. But we're going to read from verse 14. This is the reading of God's word. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit who is in us, working in us, so that we may hear and we may understand and we may believe and we may obey. Oh Father, we pray that as we hear your word, you will cause our faith to grow. And Father, we pray that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, living that holy life that you call us to live. You have commanded us to come out and be separate. Let us live that holy life for your glory. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time, we have looked at this passage in overall a meaning of this passage. Today, we come to verse 16. It says, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Paul has been telling us how completely different we are from the world. And it's not just in terms of a difference in the world, but we are the new creation. And he is teaching us to live that set apart life. But the reason that he gives us is this: for we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? This is truly an amazing truth. But this is the eternal reality of our salvation. And for next 3 or 4 weeks, I would like to stay on this topic, the temple of God. Because It is very important for all of us to understand what it means to be the temple of God. It is truly amazing grace that He pours out to us. Filthy sinners like us, through what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, have now become the holy temple of the living God. God's temple, God's eternal dwelling place, God's house, if you will. The place where God is, place where God lives, the place where God is with His people, the place where God dwells with His people, the place where God meets His people and has eternal fellowship with His people. Now just think about how this would have been sound like to those unbelieving Jews at the time and even now to those unbelieving people. Back then, there was a temple, and it was temple of God in Jerusalem. And here's Paul saying to Corinthians, you are the temple of God. Just think about how would this been sound like to those unbelieving people. To all those who recognize things according to flesh, this is utterly nonsense. What do you mean we are the temple of God? There's temple in Jerusalem back then. But you and I know what Paul is saying to us. The new creation has been accomplished. The heavenly reality that the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple were pointing to has been fulfilled. No longer the temple that is made by human hands, but the eternal heavenly temple that is made by the Holy Spirit, with the people of God who were saved by the blood and the resurrection, blood and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ as the living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, and coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When we build a temple, we need bricks, stones. And God says, you are the living stones that God uses to build His own house, to build His temple. God's people who are saved out of sin and out of this world, they are the holy living stones. The temple, the true temple of God is made up of God's people. And the Old Testament temple was pointing to this reality that Christ comes and fulfills. You are the true temple of the living God. And when we say we build a church, nowhere in the Bible that means we're building a building. When you build a building, that is just building, that's not the church. According to the Bible, you are His temple. You are the true church. So building where no Christian gathers is never a church. Well, we could talk about this more later. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now here, foundation of the apostles and prophets. What are they talking about? Who are these people, apostles and prophets? These are the people who write the Bible. Apostles and prophets in the Old Testament, but here is even in New Testament. These are the people who bring God's word, foundation of God's word, foundation of the truth. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And we will look at these verses, especially the Peter and 1 Peter and this Ephesians and 2 Corinthians. We'll look at these verses and learn about the true temple of God for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And I hope you will pay attention to what is being said, because this is really important. Once you understand this, your life has to change, unless you don't believe. Now, the whole redemptive history of God can be expressed in so many ways. You could say the whole Bible is about God's love story, or so on and on. You could express the whole redemptive history of God in so many ways, but one way is this. The whole Bible is about God building his eternal dwelling place where he could be with his people. The whole Bible is about God building the temple, his temple. The completion of this temple is the end of the whole redemptive history of God. When everything is over, only the temple of God remains. Everything else will be destroyed. The Bible is about God building his holy temple. And at the end of the Bible, we see that reality. Revelation 21, verse 3 to 4, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." You see the temple and the reality of that temple. God is with his people. All history, all the history that you're learning, you have learned of what is going to happen in the future, all history is flowing toward this purpose. And only the believers will see that. There's no way non-believers will see the history, what is going on in this world, and say, whoa, everything is flowing so that temple of God is being built. But that is what the Bible is telling us. And we must understand and believe that this is our spiritual reality that our Lord has already accomplished. Hear what Paul has said. He does not tell us that he doesn't say we will be the temple of God. What does he say? He says that we are the temple of God. So you must understand that this is already reality for us. That it's not that someday we will be the temple of God, but because of what Christ has done already, that we are the temple of God right now. He says that we are. We have been already washed with Jesus' blood and clothed with his righteousness, became holy and made the temple of God in which God dwells already. That he lives in you already. God lives in us. And I don't know how many times you really realize this, that you are aware how God lives in us even now. That you are truly the temple of God. We do not fully understand, but we do believe this amazing grace of God. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have already been made into the temple of the living God. And we are being made into the temple of living God. And when Jesus returns, all will be visibly consummated. It's not that when Jesus returns, finally we're going to be the temple of God. No, it already happened. But when Jesus returns, what has already happened will be visible. That's what his return truly means. Everything has been already accomplished. But it's not visible yet. That is why it requires your faith. Because without faith, you will never see this. John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, the Jews then said to Jesus, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But if you keep reading, it says that he was talking about the true temple, his body, the church. Luke chapter 14, verse 58, we heard him say, these false witnesses witnessing against Jesus says, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Now that is not exactly what Jesus has said, but you kind of understand how they hear. See, when everything that Jesus says is in terms of heaven, but the sinners, they could only understand whatever Jesus says in terms of the world. That's why you read that kind of thing so many times. I gave you so many examples. Nicodemus, you have to be born from above. Heavenly understanding, but he only understands in the worldly sense. What, I need to go into my mother's womb and come out again? I will give you living water. Jesus says to woman at the well, but she only understood in the worldly sense. You don't have anything to get this water. How are you going to give me this water? But he was talking about the Holy Spirit, but she only understood in the worldly terms. Same way. Destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about the true temple, not earthly temple. But they have no way of understanding what Jesus is really saying, because their whole focus is about this world. This is everything for them. And if Jesus did not come to give me this world, then I will reject him. I don't need him, because I really don't care about heavenly things. Because what I care is my being wealthy and healthy in this world. And you have been saved out of that. That is the world. And you are not like that anymore. But I'm afraid that so many churchgoers, they're of the world. Because that's what they want. the world. The world that God will destroy, that is what they desire. And that's the only thing that really matters. See, that is why, you know, in the church, we have no power to make you Christian. Only thing that we could do at the church is that we recognize who God has made as Christians. We just observe how they live and what they say and what they believe. And we know whether God has made them into Christians or not. Because non-Christians, I don't care how many times you hear the message, you're going to focus on the world. You have no ability to focus on heavenly things. God is speaking to His people. God is speaking to those who He has already made as Christians. And only those people will hear His voice and believe. You have to test yourself. Ask yourself, do I truly believe? Now, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to live a perfect life, that you're not going to sin, but I'm asking you whether you truly believe. And your life is dominated by that belief, even though you will go against it many times. What was the purpose of Old Testament tabernacle? What was the temple all about? Well, tabernacle was for this reason, so that God could be with His people. So in that tabernacle, God resides so that the tabernacle will be in midst of God's people as they journey towards the promised land. It is so that God could be with His people. That was the purpose. When it was completed, what happened? Go to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. When the tabernacle was completed, this is what happens. Exodus chapter 30. Verse 34 and 35. Now, stay with me. This is very, very important. Stay with me for the next 15 minutes. After that, maybe you could doze off or whatever you do. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Picture this. When the tabernacle was finished, God comes so that He may reside in that tabernacle. As God comes, the glory of God fills the tabernacle so that people are so afraid people cannot get near. The glory of God filled the tabernacle. Which shows so many things, but we're going to talk about that next time. But God came. God comes. God remains. That's what it means. His glory is filled the tabernacle. When the temple later was completed, the same thing happened. Second Chronicles. Temple was finished by Solomon. Tabernacle by Moses. But the same thing happens when the temple was completed. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. Now when Solomon had finished praying, it was during the dedication of the new temple, When the Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, filled the temple. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. Again, the temple is finished and the glory of God filled the temple, meaning God came. And he now remains. But the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple, it was glorious, but they were not the eternal dwelling place of God. They were types that were pointing to the true eternal temple that is to come. Even the King Solomon knew about this. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house which I have built." So even as he sees the glory of God filling that temple, he understands that this is temporary. This is type. The true temple is not this earthly temple. Isaiah 66 verse 1, thus says the Lord, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? Who is able to build the eternal house of God?" Not Moses, not Solomon. Only God himself can build his eternal dwelling house. Thus Jesus Christ, who is the true temple of God, he comes and builds the eternal temple of God. Jesus Christ our Lord is the true temple of God. And when he came, this is what we read about him in John chapter 1 verse 14. "And the Word became flesh." True temple comes and dwelt. That means tabernacled among us. And we saw his glory. Again, when true temple came, what do we see? The glory of God. We see his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Again. This person, Jesus Christ, is filled with the glory of God. He is the glory of God. But brothers and sisters, through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, you and I have become the temple of God. What do we see in Acts chapter 2? What do we see when Jesus Christ completes the work of salvation? Meaning, when he completes the temple of God, what happens? He says, "You destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up." As soon as his body is raised up, the true temple is finished. It is completed. And he ascends to heaven, and what happens? Just like the time of Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple, we see God coming to the true temple in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and remains in the true temple, the people of God. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Do you see it? The true completion of the true temple. Holy Spirit, just like when Moses finished the tabernacle, just like when Solomon finished the temple, when Jesus finishes the true temple, we see the same thing. God comes. And fills the true temple with the glory of God. He remains. But see, it's not visible. You have to wait until Jesus' return to see the visible glory that filled the true temple, you. Do you see it? I am a temple of God. God came. Because Jesus' blood has cleansed me and his righteousness I am clothed with. And the Holy Spirit came to me, and he lives in me, and he filled the glory of God in me. But it's not visible. But truly, you are able to see it because you believe. Because if you don't see it, then you don't believe. I am filled with the glory of God. And maybe it's better that it's not visible because you really need thick sunglasses if it is visible. And this is the redemptive history of God. He's building his temple, and he finished it. And you and I are witnesses of that reality. We are the temple of God. The glory of God fills the temple of God. This is what is happening as we see the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. This is the ultimate purpose of us, the Christians. Our ultimate purpose is to be the eternal dwelling place of God. To be the eternal temple of God. To be filled with the glory of God. To shine that glory of God. Do you see then the reality of God's glory being filled in you and filled in your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Our holy God is meeting us. He is fellowshipping with us even now. We are the witnesses of that reality. You know, every time you see, what do you see? You see God meeting with man. I am the witness of that. Because God is indeed meeting with me. He is in me. He lives in me. And as such a person, what kind of life that I must live is very, very clear. I don't have to explain what things you cannot do in this world. Because you are the temple of God. You are the meeting of God and man. You're filled with the glory of God. You take that glory of God everywhere you go. Thus, what we read in our chapter is so obvious. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. How could we do that? For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with an idol? Verse 17, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. In chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We do not belong to this sinful world. We must shine the glory of God that is filled in us, the glory of the temple of God in this dark, sinful world. You know, so many people say to me, oh, pastor, you're too much. Do you understand how the world is right now? You know how hard it is to live as a Christian in the world? Do you understand that what I need to do in the world to survive? What he's saying is that, come on. I have to compromise something here and there. You know, it's so hard to come out from them and be separate. And pastor, you say that because you don't have to live that kind of life. All you do is preach this and, you know, it's easy for you. Believe me, it's the same thing. It's not easy for me. You don't get it, pastor. But see, I say to them, you don't get it. You don't get what God has done. You don't get what God has made you to be. You don't understand who you are. If you truly understand what kind of person you have become in Christ, see, if you know who you are, then you will live as such. It's not that I don't understand how the world is. It's that so many people don't understand what God has accomplished. You know what kind of person you have become in Christ? You will have nothing to do with the world for eternity. That's who you are. You won't even think about it. Not even for 1 second in that eternity. The world has nothing to do with you. That's the kind of person that God has already made you to be. If you understand what He has done, see, you're not going to be saying that. God understands how the world is, how sinful it is, and how hard it is for us to live as a Christian in this world. But God also knows what He has done. What kind of power and strength that He gives to you? He knows that His grace is sufficient. He knows His work is mightier than any of the sinful works that you might see in this world. He knows. He who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. Because He has already victory over him. It's not that He's unreasonable. It's that you do not believe what He has done. Brothers and sisters, we are the holy temple of God. But when we see ourselves, it is so hard to believe that we are. And I understand that because it's the same as me. It seems like the impossible reality for us. You know, just think how clean it has to be in order for God to come. You know, when you bring some special guest to your house, what do you say? you know, important guest to your house and you say, oh, you know, my house is dirty. Even though you spend all day cleaning it, you because his status, because he's an important guest, you say, oh, this is too dirty, but still come in. How clean, how righteous, how holy do you think you need to be to have God living in you? Do you understand what kind of person you have already become if God lives in you? Yes, it's not your work. God did it. But just understand how holy you are. And we're going to talk about holiness next time. Yes. If we judge by our physical eyes, it seems like the impossible reality for us. We are not able to make ourselves the holy temple of God. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what God says to you. Again, He did not say, be the temple of God. He said to you, you are the temple of God. God has made us His temple, and that is our present spiritual reality. It is the work of God. Zechariah chapter 4 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through the word of God in Jesus Christ. It is the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. God is the builder of His temple. He who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And it is already accomplished spiritually. We are the temple of the living God. God has already come in us and lives in us. What is the temple? Temple is the meeting place of God and man. That's why Jesus is the true temple. When you look at Jesus, He is God and He is man. He is the meeting of God and man. That's what Jesus is. That is why He is the true temple. But look at me. I'm also meeting of God and man. Maybe I should say I am a meeting of man and God. You see Jesus and you see God and also man. But when you look at me, you have to see God and man, even in me, because God lives in me. Do you see it? I'm meeting with God. I am the temple of God. God and Young Kim is always together. He lives in you. So do not just think Jesus as God and man, but you are also God and man, but no, you're not really God, but the real God is with you. And you take Him everywhere you go. You involve Him, everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. How can we involve the holy God in filthy sins that we commit? That's why God says, come out. Come out in the midst of them and be separate. We are the proof of God meeting His people. We are the reality of God meeting His people. God is meeting with us and we are meeting with God, and there is an eternal fellowship and communion. This is the ultimate hope and desire of Christians. This was so for all believers. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. This is the desire of Christianity, and that desire has been fulfilled. That we not only in the house of the Lord, we are the house of the Lord. But amazing grace, you guys. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all day of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. But remember, Psalms are truly Psalms of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it is not just David's Psalm, but it is also Psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing that He desired, and that is to be with you. To behold the beauty of you. And that is exactly what He's doing even now. As He lives in me, He beholds the beauty that He has created in me. Understand, it's His desire also. You and I have become the temple of God, and we enjoy God's presence with us. It is already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus, He seeks us and to behold the beauty of us. God desires to be with us, and the fact that I became the temple of God clearly shows that that desire is true. That His ultimate purpose in His redemptive history is to make me His temple so that He could be with me forever. What else do we want? Let me just finish with this. That heaven is also a great place for God. It's not just a great place for us, but also for God it is. Because there, we will be with God forever and ever. That's why He saves us. That's why He makes us His temple. And you know, do you see this? God lives in us. What does this mean? God lives in us. Is it just part of God lives in me, or is it the whole of God lives in me? Of course it's whole of God. You know what that means? I possess the whole of God in me. Meaning that I am temple of God means that He has given all of Himself to me. Because all of Himself lives in me. He gave Himself to me. That's what it means to be the temple of God. Do you understand? He gave Himself to you. We possess Him entirely. This is who we are. The temple of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, please see this. See the reality of God giving all of Himself to you. That is what being a temple of God truly means. Rejoice. God is with us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, it is so amazing, astonishing. We are lost for words. But Father, it is too wonderful for us to know and believe. But we thank you that you work in us in your spirit, and he makes us believe. Yes, we are your temple. Yes, we are meeting with God, now and forever. And as the temple of God, it is very clear to us what kind of life we must live. Oh, Father, let us, by your grace, be able to witness to the whole world that we are indeed true temple of God. That God is with us, and we are with God. That God gave all of yourself to us, that we possess the entire God. Let us rejoice and let us witness this reality as we live our lives here on earth. Bless us, God. Make us understand more and more and believe more and more, so that our lives will be filled with joy of heaven and fellowship with God now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.